Over the years, we've brought you blockbusters, box office bombs, sports films, and Air Bud. But there's one genre at Apocalypse Video that has been grossly unappreciated. Until now. Because this summer, we're pumping up the volume. From the video store that brought you Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volumes 1 through 3 comes the newest, most exhilarating Summer Film Fest yet. Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 4. Now that's what I call dance movies. Featuring films like Flashdance. Saturday Night Fever.
We just washed the hair. No, I work on my hair a long time. You hit it. He hits my hair.
Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights.
Is this square? Is this square good or bad? It's bad. See, this is square.
Magic Mike.
Can you talk to me?
All of your favorites are here. Plus, a few surprises.
I have to lie to women to get laid, and I don't score much. I got a little dick. It's pathetic.
So get ready for the hottest moves you've ever seen as Apocalypse Video brings you Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 4. Now that's what I call dance movies. And it starts now.
Let's hear it for the five-time national cheerleading champions, the Mighty Toros!
Bang, bang, choo-choo track, let me see you do your thing!
You are cheerleaders. Cheerleaders are dancers who have gone retarded. Let me see
that booty bounce. Jan's got spirit. How about you?
Dude, you just lost.
Ever been to a cheerleading competition? We're the best. We have fun, we work hard, and we win national championships.
We have a problem.
About what? You ripped off those cheers.
We've had the best squad around for years, but no one's been able to see what we can do.
We're in trouble.
But you better believe all that's gonna change this year.
I swear I had no idea.
Do you think a white girl came up with those moves?
This isn't about cheating. This is about winning.
Can we just beat these buffies down so I can go home?
We might have to have a rumble.
I'll take out famous losers for $200.
Shut up, moron!
You wanna make it right? Then when you go to nationals, bring it. That way, when we beat you, we'll know it's because we're better.
I'll bring it. Don't worry.
Come on, let's go get it on.
We need a new routine, something amazing and fresh.
We've been saying we're the best. Now it's time to put up or shut up.
Let's do this.
Maybe we should join the squad.
All right, you guys are great podcasters, thanks in part to me, your cheer coach. I'm your cheer coach, Dave. You're joining us for another episode of Hot Dave Summer Film Fest Volume 4. Now, that's what I call dance movies. We're now watching perhaps the greatest cheer movie ever made, Bring It On. And I'm joined again by my squad, Ryan.
My name is Ryan, and I ain't lying. I work the store. I'm not a whore. Let's go, APB! Woo!
Oh my god, that's good.
I'm also joined by Michael.
Awesome! Oh wow! Like, totally freaked me out. I mean, right on! Apocalypse Video sure is number one.
Let's go! Yeah!
Followed up by Jackie.
I'm sexy. I'm cute. I'm popular to boot. I'll stop right there because I could do the whole thing.
All right. We're also joined by Nick Mortenhoof.
I'm Nick. Sometimes I'm a dick. I'm a Morton. And get out your foghorn.
Nice.
And finally, bringing it all home, special guest returning to the podcast, Madeline.
You are being a real cheer tater, David, and a pain in my ass.
You know, people say I put the itch in bitch, but I don't get it.
Can this movie just, or this episode just be all quotes?
Most of my notes for this movie are just quotes. It's insane.
It's an incredibly quotable film, I think in part because it's easy to memorize Cheers.
I'm going to put this up there with Predator as one of the most quotable movies we have seen recently.
You're not wrong. Just bring it on from the year 2000, and boy, does it show.
Yeah, I did forget how many homophobic slurs are in this movie.
They drop a lot of hard
Yeah, there's several, but to speak specifically to the F-bomb, how many times do you think they said the F-bomb in this movie?
I mean, more than 10, and they say the D-word as well multiple times. I'd forgotten about that part, I think, because it's like, ew, we can't let Eliza Dushku on this team. She's so obviously gross and counterculture, and it's like, she just has a bad hairstyle. You can see that.
I might have missed some, but I only counted 3 F-bombs.
Oh, you're counting them.
I was counting
it.
I dropped the first one, I was like, this is PG-13, right?
No, you missed some. There's definitely more than 3.
More than 3.
There's looks that say it, you know?
There's very clearly eyes. Communicated. No, I forgot because, like, you could say that on, I think you probably still could, on TV.
Like, I bet that was, like, on par with, like, a damn or, like, an ass as far as, like, curse words back in the day.
You can just say it. You can let it rip. You can bring it on, even.
The year 2000, before everything changed. But
and before they took it from us.
Jeez. But those things did stand out, especially, like, just the general... Like, that was kind of my first impression of this movie. Like,
it's like watching, like, a movie from, like, the 60s or the 50s or 40s or whatever, and they're, like... using different terms for, like, black people than we would ever use, you know? Like, you know, it's
such a great start. What a great start.
Yeah, just a chorus of people getting canceled.
I don't want to cancel this film. I love my big sister, Kirsten Dunst and Gabrielle Union. They raised me. They're my cool older cousins.
I don't think, if I may say, as a straight dude, I don't think it was like... I don't think this was like... a mean movie, and I don't think that this was like more egregious than anything else that you would have seen.
Yeah, I mean, it is the year 2000. It happened. Well, it did happen.
And the people using the words are the bad guys. However, what was interesting is they almost used it also as not a slur at a certain point. Because they asked Les, she asked, do you speak... that and it didn't seem like in an offensive way, like that's obviously a wildly offensive word, but it seems like it's weird how they were just using it like in casual conversation.
It comes back around to being like, oh well, we know he's gay, and like, oh, what's that, like using like as slang but not as like a derogatory thing.
Yeah,
and it's like
well,
oh, you shouldn't do that. However, I get it. It's
spoilers,
a different,
you know, but like there's one scene in this movie that it's nothing crazy or anything, but there is a scene in this movie towards the end that is probably the most like normal and positive portrayal of a gay person in a comedy in the year 2000 or, you know, 20 years before or afterwards.
Oh, yeah. He just like Les like walks up to another guy cheerleader and it's like, hey, you did a good job. And they're like, oh, thanks. And they're just kind of like,
it's just a normal interaction.
It's beautiful. Like, I love Les so much. He's like maybe one of my favorite characters in all of film.
So he's like one of the two primary like guy characters on the team, right? Mm-hmm.
The other one jokes about like slipping thumbs into girls' asses or whatever.
Yeah, Jan's gross.
I hate Jan.
Jan has some problems.
And but, again, but less it's, is my it's like you could hear like the faint like thing of like, oh, everyone does that. It's okay. Everyone sticks fingers up people's butts.
No, we don't all do that.
Like, without their consent. When that happened in the movie,
well, that was Bring It On, guys.
You know, because this is a movie about some real stuff. We're talking about racism. We're talking about cultural appropriation. We're talking about devaluing women's athletic achievements.
Well, there were two scenes in the movie that generally that I was like, whoa, that the first being the one we just mentioned where like they do their cheer and the one dude on the team like sticks his thumb.
He like
you
sniffs
know,
his
there.
Thumb afterwards.
And she just sort of and it's just like, again, it's like it's the year 2000. It's almost like, oh, you little scamp. You know what I mean? I'm just like, no, that's like,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
like
I
the whole
do that
situation that needs to be addressed.
We don't do that in the waist.
We don't know.
No, we got rules in the waist, damn it. And the second being, what was it? Let me check my notes. It was supposed to be just a funny little thing, but like, who it's directed to is what caused me pause. There's a moment in the movie where it involves a little girl, and someone makes like a BJ gesture to her. I was like,
oh, yeah.
What?
No, it's during the audition when they want
yes.
the one girl's little sister who's like 12, and she like does the cheer like clearly coached by her sister, and I think it's this fucking Jenny's like, what a this little girl's such
I mean,
a dick writer.
In the movie's defense, I think they're trying to do like a jerk off thing of like. It's not a sexual thing, I think,
but
they're
they,
going for.
They
he does
the,
do
the tongue oh, in the cheek motion.
It's in poor taste. It's in poor taste.
I was
or
like, really?
Is it so funny?
You know what this reminded me of? It reminded me of the Monster Squad with that scene when Dracula, like grabs the little girl who's, like, 4 years old. Is like, give me the amulet, you bitch. You know, I was like, whoa.
Okay, to like, that point, though, later in the movie when that one girl... as a feud with the little girl at the cheers competition is that made
yeah,
me laugh out loud.
That was different because it was
you
such
evil
a
whore or whatever she says.
Some of these uniforms look so skanky. Whatever, they're white trash.
Where do they get them?
They're white trash. Cutter, I'm gonna kick your ass, you evil whore.
Get over it, head.
Oh, she did not just hit me.
No.
She's a little kid. She's a little.
Well, it was funny because it was such an absurd situation because you like, you know, you expect the camera to, you know, to switch to the alternate angle and it's just someone else. But it's like this little girl and she's, you know, that was funny because of the situation. That was situational comedy.
I do enjoy situational comedy.
So get over it, hag.
Whose was this first time bringing it on?
I hadn't seen it before.
Michael was the virgin.
Oh, we have two here.
I had never seen this.
Yeah, I had never seen it either. Ryan, did you say you saw it in theaters?
Yeah.
Have you Thank seen it you. Since theaters in the year 2000?
I mean, it was one that played on TV. I've probably seen it 800 times, probably.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It was one that, like, you could always find, yeah. like, 15 or 20 minutes of it going somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't think I've seen
I think they probably
whole...
bleeped some of the slurs.
Like, I think I remember seeing it. I remember going to see. I was trying to think because around that year 2000, I was trying to pinpoint when exactly. Because I would go and stay with a friend, like a family friend, and his parents would go to see something and then drop us off in something. And I think I remember one time they dropped us off to see something and they went and saw Eyes Wide Shut. And I think we saw Dinosaur, the Disney movie Dinosaur.
Oh.
And
so a I was great trying to double feature, those if two.
It, yeah, if this was the same time, but. They were this within the same, like, probably 9 months, these movies.
I thought Dinosaur was, like, a 2008 movie.
No,
it was,
isn't
that's wild.
That's the, like,
no,
CGI
I mean, I believe
one,
you.
Right?
Just,
yeah. And
I loved that.
So I couldn't figure out what they probably saw around this time. Maybe they went and saw Bring It On also, but I think I probably had in my head, like, ah, girls movie, cheerleader movie. And,
I
want to
see X-Men.
But part of me is like, oh, the girl from Jumanji's in it. Maybe, so, I don't know.
There's a Sum 41 song in it.
And I guess there's some sick music.
This is a pre-Fat Lip Sum 41.
Yeah, and so, I mean, this is, I didn't, you know, who knows? And then, who knows? And then I probably was quickly changed from the first scene, probably. But, yeah, it was like, I was just like, the girl from Jumanji's in this movie. Okay, cool. You know, let's go see it.
Dave, was this your first time?
No, I'd seen this before. This actually, this is one of my earliest memories of watching a DVD.
Ooh.
Because this came out around the time when DVDs really started to, you know, get popular. I remember the first DVD I bought, speaking of, was X-Men. And I remember at the time putting the X-Men DVD in, and it had that interactive menu with Cerebro. I was like, this is the future of home video.
I mean, and it was for it, and it for really a long time. Was. It was.
And I remember Bring It On was an early DVD that I saw. Weirdly, I rented it at a Friday Food and Drug. They had like a small
what?
Like video section, and DVD was in there, and I was like, I just wanted to watch any DVD. I wanted those interactive menus.
Well, I feel like this so would be like in like DVD montages, like her with that like
yes.
up with her top off would be like in the middle of like a DVD montage
or them like training.
What's
like
a training what do you montage? Mean a DVD montage?
Like, can you believe this picture of DVD? Like that
oh.
kind of thing. And it'd be like,
oh, like you put a DVD in, and like before the trailers, it'd be like, here's the ad for the concept of DVD.
Yeah basically. Yeah. Like, don't
like
you remember this long ago?
And it'll be like you know, Trinity like on the rope and like
yeah.
the building blowing
would,
up.
Would this be something that in the background there would be like a bow, 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 bow,
absolutely yeah. there would, to tell you that we're in the future. We're living in the future.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be just part of like one of those.
9/11 hasn't happened yet.
This is DVD. And this is what happens when you watch DVD. It's a movie on a disc the size of a CD. The picture is twice as sharp as VHS. The sound is infinitely clearer. It looks and sounds like you're at the movies, but you can experience it at home. Not to mention, you can watch it in widescreen, listen to audio commentary, choose from features like director's notes, behind-the-scenes footage, trailers, and more. Watch a movie right on your computer. And rent or buy DVDs from these great Hollywood studios. DVD. See how good a movie at home can be. With over 3,000 titles to choose from, make sure you see your next movie on DVD.
Yeah. It was basically like the home video equivalent of like the IMAX intro. It's like you could either be watch a movie or be part of one.
Yeah, and I feel like it'd be like part
special
be
feature.
In it too. Yeah.
I'm curious for the first time viewers, had you never seen anything, or did you like see a couple clips here and there like on TV or like the beginning song or like stuff like that? Anyone?
Oh wait, who are you asking?
I'm asking the people whose first time I was watching this.
Oh,
you.
So me, as a newbie. No, I hadn't seen anything. I mean, I knew about it. I knew there was a movie called Bring It On, that was, you know, well liked by some people.
It kicked off the DVD revolution. Yes,
yeah, kicked off the DVD revolution. It helped the format survive. No, I probably knew next to nothing. I didn't even realize, like, until, you know, we're getting ready to watch this, that, like, Kristen Dunst was in it or Eliza Dushku.
Oh, wow. That is crazy to
I'll
me.
Be honest. I'm going to throw out my lore, some personal lore. I remember growing up and, like, around the age this would have been out, I had a friend at the time who was, like, their celebrity crush was Eliza Dushku. And they were always like, oh, Eliza Dushku is so
name,
hot.
Ryan Caldwell?
Yeah, their name was Ryan Caldwell. Darth Ryan.
Darth Ryan.
Don't worry, I'll say Darth Ryan so no one will know who I'm talking about. No,
I'm
it wasn't
not editing
you.
This. you just outed Ryan.
They're all going to find me now.
People are going to know that in the year 2000 you thought Eliza Dushku was cute. Your life is over.
What year was the new guy? Was that
2004?
She was already, she'd already been on
Buffy.
But
yeah, so I hadn't
anyway.
Seen this movie, and to be honest, I didn't know who Eliza Dushku was. But they were always like, oh, yeah, Eliza Dushku's so hot. And I was always just like, yeah, she is. She's such a babe. But this whole
whoever
time,
that
I
is.
Didn't. I'll be honest. Like, I don't even think I really knew who she was until watching this movie. And like, oh, that is who she is. Okay,
it's
interesting.
Faith from Buffy.
I would have gone Kristen Dunst. I mean, I was a Spider-Man.
Sure.
You know, Spider-Man did it for me. Mary Jane, you know, she's my Mary Jane, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah. I really, yeah.
Until
so.
They woke her up, right?
Did they? When? What? Who woke who up? Is Kristen Dunst woke?
No, I'm saying
probably.
I was making a joke about.
And then Mary Zendaya Jane. Comes
yeah,
in.
Zendaya, yeah.
You got to stop listening to the Bartertown podcast, Ryan.
Yeah, you're getting some bad ideas in the mix.
What about you, Nick? Where I feel like I imagine
Madeline's background too.
well, yeah, Nick, because you're another first timer. I'm curious.
Nick is
like
the
what...
newbie, and Madeline as the connoisseur.
Yeah,
I do want to hear.
We can finish up with
Madeline's
like
cheer captain.
It's extensive and long. So go ahead, Nick.
I have no exposure to this other than basically the poster, probably.
Sure. Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid and this came out, I did want to see it because it was like, oh, all these girls, you know, this is going to be a great movie. I did want to see
pretty,
it.
So.
But I wasn't. I would be wager that this is not a movie I would ask my parents to go see.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to see it back then, but then yeah, it just never came across my radar again. So I had never seen any clips or anything like that, other than I knew there was some dancing. But yeah, that's about it. I was probably closer to Mike, except I didn't have a friend. I didn't have Darth Ryan friend. that had a crush on these people. So
anonymous
yeah.
friend Darth Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, my exposure is an eyes opening thing for me because I was just like it was like I said I was like ah girls movie and then the movie starts and all of a sudden I was like
oh
I was all
Sammy
Fableman in the theater
yeah,
watching.
But this is,
you know?
Yeah, the big difference
it.
Is like I was like oh man a girl movie yes.
But Ryan, I don't understand because like you were a big fan of Titanic, which came out a few years before this.
Yeah, but think about it. That's a big difference between like fifth grade.
That's
to,
a
like,
woman's
high,
movie,
you know? Yeah,
not a girl's movie.
Titanic was like a juggernaut. Like yeah. that was like a movie you had.
Yeah,
to
that
see.
That didn't come across it, to me. It wasn't like a. This is like yeah, there's a cheerleading movie, you know,
yeah.
and I'm in like
cheerleadings
high,
for girls.
You
know?
Yeah,
yeah.
This
but
is
the
did this
are
like
just as high, Ryan.
It's so
did
true.
This like open your eyes to Josie and the Pussycats? Was that like
I didn't see that till way later, actually.
Oh,
and
okay.
I wish I did. I fucked up with that because that movie would have been. Yeah.
All right, Madeline. What's your so? Were you like? Did you write this movie or like? What's your level in?
Yeah.
Involvement?
So first of all, I wrote it. And actually, Kirsten Dunst, you may think it's Kirsten Dunst. That's actually me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's crazy how similar you two look.
It's great. Well, I just deep faked myself in. Don't ask questions.
DVDs are so powerful.
But I feel like I saw this movie in the best way because I was doing the math and I was 11. When it came out in theaters with a bunch of other 11-year-olds. Like, I remember we took up the whole front row, like me
oh
and like all these kids
oh, wow.
I went with. And I just remember the first scene and I'm like, whoa, there's bad words in this. Okay.
They're going to say bad stuff.
That first scene is so good.
Yeah. That first scene was shocking because like the what they were cheering at a moment I was like, did I forget what this movie was? Because
no,
it's so
about
over the
filthy
top.
Mouthed you know, cheerleaders smiling with all their teeth.
It definitely like it sets up like a good tone. Like
yeah.
of
but
what the
movie. Well yeah,
gonna
it sets
be.
Up like almost like I don't want to say Simpsons level tone, but you know this is gonna be over the top in some way. Yeah.
And
they're seriously like grabbing their boobs, grabbing their
yeah.
ass. I'm like, are these standard cheers?
there's like a I don't want to say it's like it's not like cynical at all, but there's like a bit of like a self-knowing kind of wink or whatever. Like it
yeah,
sort of like
definitely
knows what it is in a way.
Well, I appreciate that it goes goofy and over the top. You know what I mean? The characters are over the top. The situations are over the top. Like this is a full-on comedy. This isn't like a it's a comedy in the sense of what would I call
it?
It's
funny.
Almost like an absurdist
it has jokes.
Comedy. No, but I mean, like in the tone of like in the grand scheme of comedies, like this veers into more like almost like absurdist comedy a little bit. Like it dips its toe into over the top territory. Is that fair?
I think so. I think it's like it's a little bit like in the style of like, yeah, like some of the like weird like musical stuff a bit. Yeah, I don't know. It's got a weird vibe.
Specifically the type of cutaway jokes that they do, like for instance at the end of the movie at the finals when everyone's like nervous, oh god we're going on, and then you know it shows the other teams and it shows this one girl with her hand up to her mouth like I think I'll be okay. It's like, all right, you could do it like,
oh yeah,
yeah, you're right,
she
moves her hand down and she's just completely bloodied like on the mouth, and it's, you know, and the other girl like pukes on her captain's
oh,
face.
Oh yeah,
so, like,
there was a big puke moment.
it goes hard in the comedy at times, and I really love it for that.
I love also that it does the kind of stakes that I really enjoy of like kids or teens who take something like so seriously that like it's like, you know, this isn't a democracy, it's a cheerocracy. Like who says that? Well, these people.
The kind of humor, it reminded me of a predecessor of, say, like maybe Bottoms, in the sense of this kind of like there's a sense of self-awareness, and there's also a sense of like quotability and very there's like a spotlight on each character when they speak, because you're supposed to remember what they say. It's very memorable in that sense, and it has that kind of it does feel like a very 2000s like vibes in its humor too, and it's the way it kind of builds all its stories together.
I want to say, since we're talking about the writing, Jessica Bettinger is the one who wrote it, and she has written another film that we have covered on this very show.
Uh-oh.
Does anyone know offhand without looking it up?
Predator.
Predator.
I looked
at Madeline that wrote it.
Yeah.
Well, this is a nom de plume of Madeline.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, based
yeah, Madeline, don't answer,
because
I know you wrote this other movie,
yeah,
so don't
say.
Say
the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I looked. I saw it the other night, but I forgot what.
Anybody?
It was.
All right, it is Aquamarine.
Oh shit! My favorite movie.
That's great. I was gonna say, okay, like I like how this beat opening is setting this kind of tongue-in-cheek satire-esque tone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't think the movie carries that throughout the whole thing. In my opinion, I don't know. I think it's like almost like a curveball a little bit. I like the movie. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it has quite like the Clueless vibe throughout the whole thing. Like, I don't know.
I was going to say, I compare this movie to movies like Clueless and 10 Things I Hate About You, where it's like very self-aware. The teenagers are kind of...
Don't talk like real people.
Yeah.
Every character has like a pithy comeback.
Madeline, it's funny you say 10 Things I Hate About You, because this is... So as we're watching this, this is another one where I'm like... What Shakespeare is this somehow a version of? Like,
I love that.
What's the angle here? Like, is this? I feel like I've been thinking this multiple times now.
I have a question, Madeline. Do you know the old? I'm pretty sure it's a Disney movie. Or they used to play it on Disney a lot. Wish Upon a Star.
Yes,
do you remember
I do.
That movie?
Of course.
I was getting the
sister like Freaky Friday swap.
Yeah,
one?
Yeah, that yeah. movie. I was getting a lot of vibes of that movie in this movie, because it has so much attitude.
Yeah,
that's a pre decom, by the way.
Ryan, I think like to your point, like I think the tone. I love this movie. I'll say, if I were to like level, I don't even know if it's a criticism, but I think like an observation maybe is I do think the tone is a little bit like. It's not consistently one thing. Like it has, it gets like earnest a lot too.
Yeah. It does.
Like
to me, yeah,
it's
I'm just not sure.
Satire, like winking nods.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's cool. I think I don't know. Maybe this is me watching it now. I don't know. Think it reaches the points. It almost is like balancing, like, and not like falling too far into one or the other, and almost like I don't know, get off the pot kind of thing, in my opinion, a little bit. Like, it almost needs to go even more earnest at times, or even more funny or something. And it's
weird. that first sequence, I will remind the podcast,
it
is
a dream.
Just a dream.
It's true,
so.
Yeah. I think it's like, yeah, so I don't know, maybe it only needs, I don't know what it is. Something about it wasn't quite, at least watching it now, is clicking as hard as it has in the past for me. But like, compared to watching like something like 10 Things or Clueless now, I think like rock. I don't know.
I've watched, we're discussing the Holy Trinity. I've seen these three movies all in adulthood all recently. Clueless is a masterpiece. It's like a 5-star movie. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would put this above 10 Things I Hate About You, and then 10 Things I Hate About You would be like all good. But I think this is not as good as Clueless, but above 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah. I wish Gabrielle Union had been in Clueless, so it could just be the Gabrielle Union trifecta.
I think a lot of what carries this movie for me is it's I haven't seen anything like it. It's just kind of like, it's a very unique movie. Like, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of like movies talk about like this subject matter.
Yeah. I wish it even went farther into that.
And it like goes places that are like, you wouldn't expect it to go. Like the whole like conceit of the movie, or the like big theme of the movie, other than cheerleading, is like white people stealing black music or whatever, like,
and dancing.
Which is like a, yeah, which is like a weird, unexpected,
yeah,
theme for like a movie like this. That was interesting to see, and I think that's like a,
yeah, that is,
it's
cool.
It's done, yeah, really, well.
Cool. Not cool. It's a concept. Like,
no, I'm like, I'm, yeah, no, I'm on their side. Like, steal that.
So, Mike, there's actually it's a pretty stark parallel to something that we saw in Saturday Night Fever, when at some point in the movie where Kirsten Dunst is like, we can't win for the wrong reasons, basically. You know, mm-hmm, we can't steal a victory from minorities. And it's almost identical in terms of Kirsten Dunst's like reaction to Saturday Night Fever. I was like, oh my God, another parallel.
Yeah, no, of they're like, we, she's like, I fully believed that like we were the best, and then I learned that like that it's all a lie, and I can't like, I don't want it like that.
I love how willing some of the other cheer members are, like, yeah, let's lie. I'm fine with the lie.
I love the two, oh, what are their names? The two girls who are like, yeah, lying's good. We love that. We love stealing.
We can't go to regionals with a stolen routine. It's too risky. Changing the routine now would be total murder-suicide.
Seriously, let's not put the duh in dumb.
How are East Compton going to prove anything? You people are unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about cheating here.
Sorry, new girl, but nobody hit your buzzer. Look, I hate to be predictable, but I don't give a shit. We learned that routine fair and square. We logged the man hours. Don't punish the squad for Big Red's mistake. This isn't about cheating. This is about winning. Everyone in favor of winning?
Can I bring up something regarding them?
Yes.
I have actually worked with Claire Kramer, Courtney herself.
What? Oh my, why did you goodness never tell me this?
I don't know. I was a PA at a movie with her, and I would knock on her trailer door and read her lines to her on the way to set. It
was Brian! Like,
wow. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You just got like six times cooler.
Did she ever?
She didn't, I don't think she ever read the scripts until she was walking the set, really.
Well, did she like ever Brandon say, like, do like you know Brandon who I am? I'm Courtney.
No, she was nice.
I'm Courtney,
she
bitch.
Nice. Who was the one that was who's the other Buffy girl that was kind of I'll just throw her under the bus right now. Let me see. What are the other Buffy girls?
Oh, is it Charisma something?
Charisma Carpenter was the hard one. She was tough. Claire was really nice.
Nice.
Wait, so Madeline, I think we all steamrolled over your history with the movie.
Well, as per usual, that's fine. I'm looking
just
up
talk
Charisma
over
Carpenter
women.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Bad vibes from Charisma.
Bad aura.
Look at this.
But Claire was a sweetheart. What do you got? What are you,
it's
what
bad
are you doing?
Vibes.
So we're looking at a picture of Charisma Carpenter.
You know
she
what
looks like she's posing for a photo. She looks like she should have been included in that photo for the Dark Universe thing. You guys remember that?
Oh,
it was
yeah
going to be
yeah
like a series of movies with Johnny Depp and Russell Crowe. And like,
they were all definitely in the same room
the
together, and they took
universe
a photo of them.
They were all in the same room together, and she's posing in a similar way that they did. If you could picture that photo that was supposed to be the great beginning to the new cinematic universe that is the Frankenstein, Dracula, so Wolfman movies.
Everyone's favorite
then
films.
Then 2017's Mummy came out.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Yeah.
But enough about failure. Let's get back to talking about, you know, winning. Bring it on.
Well, so Madeline, how many times do you think, like, when was the last time you like saw before the show? Like how frequently do you see this movie, or like how ingrained is this to you?
So there were a few movies that my brother and I would just watch over and over and over and over. and this was one of them. I would wager I've seen this movie over 300 times. I'm not joking.
Oh, wow.
What age was the, what was the age range where you're like peak watching this over and over? Like, did it start from, it was like 11 to 15 yeah, or like, yeah. What are we talking
to
here?
Like pretty much the whole time I lived at my mom's house.
34.
Me and Patrick were watching this movie over and over. Yeah, I would say 11 to truly 17. I watch it at least once a year because I just get like the urge.
So like you're like a junior in high school and this is on regular. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Like it was this and Dumb and Dumber and Wayne's World and me and my brother would just have those and Zoolander. We would have those on in rotation and just have every single moment of every movie memorized and then we'd like do scenes from them together.
I got about half of those are in my rotation too.
the boy ones.
The movie for the boys. I hate looking at pretty girls in movies.
No, like I said, this is a discovery.
I actually do like looking at pretty girls in movies. So I can get roles.
We basically touched on the main thrust of the movie, but Madeline as the Chronicle. The chronicler of Bring It On. As the scholar of Bring It On, why don't you describe the plot of Bring It On?
Yeah. So this plot, it revolves around Torrance Shipman. She is voted
Torrance. Torrance.
I got the door tour. And Torrance.
No one's named Torrance anymore. That's a name.
Doesn't come up much anymore.
No, you don't. You do not hear that name. I've never heard that name for a girl.
Baby Torrance.
So she is voted as the new cheer captain, replacing the one who puts the itch in bitch, Big Red.
Big Red.
Big Red. She's in. I didn't notice this looking her up. Who is that?
Sabrina, right?
She was in Sabrina. I was thinking of Wonder Years. She's
maybe.
She's in a couple episodes. She's like becomes the girlfriend of like his like goofy friend. Do you remember this, David? Like.
I remembered her from Sabrina. Vaguely.
The blonde kid?
It was like the kid that was always like, he's like chewing on something. He's like, yeah. That was in a lot of stuff back then.
Yes.
It was like his girlfriend. And then I think there's one episode where she goes on a date with Kevin. And, you know, he's too wrapped up in old Winnie Cooper, you know?
Sure. Sorry.
That's ingrained.
No, we gotta hear about that. Well, now I'm trying to figure out. She might not have been in Sabrina. She might just look like someone.
No, wasn't that her?
It might be.
I thought it was...
Anyway, Big Red.
Anyway,
Big Red.
So she's voted the new cheer captain, and because she wants to be a little bit ambitious, she tries on her first day to do a very complicated move.
Pyramid, right?
Pyramid structure, which results in one of their main cheerleaders breaking her leg. As a result, they have to look for a new cheerleader, which results in the best audition scene. There's always audition scenes in movies. I do think this is the best one. And we get Eliza Dushku added to the
interesting haircut.
To the squad.
She's the new girl in school, and she has some appropriative hair.
I think your haircut is like, I'm in the middle stages of trying to get white people dreads, but like, they haven't fully dreaded
yet. Yeah, it just kind of makes her look greasy. And it's funny because she's the one who like reveals to the cheer squad that like, I've seen this cheer before, you're stealing from the black team. It's like, how does the black team feel about your hairdo and general thing? I'd like to know.
I love that when she comes in, too, they have that thing where it's like...
She's so hardcore. You can tell because she's wearing a wallet chain.
And it's year 2000, so you know you're like, seeing mid-drift.
Hey, we have a... what is it like? Tattoos are verboten. And then she like licks her finger and like smudges it. Like, I get bored.
I did it at fourth period or something.
I got bored during fourth period. There are so many jokes in this movie that I didn't get until watching it later. Like things I just didn't understand what was going on. I want to know, what is everyone's favorite audition?
I loved the ballet man who was clearly very talented and strong. They could have used him on the team.
They liked him. I felt like, you know, they
was it too? Well, he's too gay or something?
I'm torn. I really liked the little girl, like the little girl auditioning. I was like, this is really like just genuinely.
She didn't
cute.
Have Kristen Storm energy though.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true.
I think she, you know, you could have molded her. And
I liked
her.
Their reasoning too of like she's teeny tiny. We can throw her up in the air. It's great.
And then on the other end, I love the insanity of the straight up lap dance audition. Like,
is this
I was
a high
like,
school
what?
Student?
That was one of those things, like watching the movie, that I was like, I wasn't expecting to see this. This is like wild.
Like, well, I also appreciated the thematic connection to Flashdance, of course. You know, the erotic dancing.
How are we getting back?
Dave is like, I like the lap dance one because it was hot and a lap dance.
Wow,
that was the best part of the movie.
I like the one where the girl was just crying the entire time.
Yes, that was good.
Ready? Okay. R-C-H. Doro's on the way. I'm sorry. I just broke up with my boyfriend.
My favorite is, isn't this the audition for Pippin?
For Pippin! Oh, yeah.
That guy is
Is that
so
the one
funny.
Who's, like, singing?
Give my regards to...
See, this is what
he's talking about. My regards to...
It has, like, that kind of... There are oftentimes in this movie where it has, like, those rapid-fire jokes, like, one after another, and I love that.
Yeah.
That audition, speaking of the 90s trifecta from 10 Things, it reminded me of, like, let's have a montage of, like, weird dudes. Would you date What's-Her-Face? And they're just like, if there's no goats, are there goats?
Remember when there was the montage audition scene in Clerks 3?
No.
Dave, can you insert, like, a cricket sound effect after? Or maybe like a wah, wah.
Yeah, it is done. The failure noise. Is the audition before or after we meet Cliff?
I love Cliff.
Jackie, no, don't come for
wait,
Cliff.
Wait. Is Cliff is Eliza Dushku's brother?
The brother.
Yeah. Oh, what's wrong with Cliff? Jackie is like so anti-Cliff, and
it's
I'm like,
he's cringe.
He's cringe at times, but like he's supportive.
It's because he's nice. I am a Eliza Dushku, Kirsten Dunst must kiss truther. It's because I want him out of here.
I can appreciate that now, but I will tell you, 11-year-old Madeline was.
Oh no, he is a cutie pie. He is very good looking.
You know,
he writes songs and stuff. You know?
He's got a little guitar.
That was
surprising.
He likes the Clash. Come on.
This movie is the year 2000, and he makes a mixtape. I'm like, wow, that must have been on its way out in year 2000. Mixtapes.
There was a little bit of crossover, you know.
I mean, it was on its way out, but like, I think.
He's the kind of cool
definitely
guy.
Definitely people had tapes back in the year 2000.
Can we talk, though, about how that song slaps? That song
the song he writes
incredible.
Is so funny because it starts out as like he wrote a little song
like,
for her.
And,
but then all of a sudden it's like well produced. Like it kicks into this like.
You don't think that's a second song? Like another, like a.
No,
like
I think it's an intro.
Another song?
I think it's an intro. You think it's one of those like track one, track two that bleed into each other kind of thing?
I think
intro.
That the second song isn't
well,
him.
His family
it's him.
Money.
It's definitely supposed to be him.
Hey, Torrance. It's me, Cliff. I wrote something for you, so here it is.
Oh, Torrance, can't stand your cheerleading squad, but I love your pom-poms. I'd feed you bonbons all night.
1, 2, 3, 4!
I think it's just him the first one, and then it goes into...
No, it's 100% supposed to be him.
That's insane.
Yeah, the first part was him, the second part was The Clash.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, I I don't know how that works in the lore
it's
of the movie. Like,
energy, you know, whatever. No,
does he own
their
a,
parents
a
are,
studio?
Everyone's parents are rich as fuck, so I bet his parents do have a studio.
I definitely 100% think that is supposed to be him, though.
Yes.
Like, that's the
idea. Absolutely. It's insane not to think that.
We never see Liza Dushku's parents, do we? They're always gone.
They're at a benefit or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, they're always at a benefit.
We do got Holmes Osborne, though. Donnie Darko's dad.
You know? Oh, that's right.
Speaking of Osborne, I don't know if you saw in the trivia, but Cliff was almost played by James Franco.
Oh, they dodged a bullet.
That would have been like a real different Cliff energy for
it,
sure.
It, okay. Yeah.
So we've actually touched on one of the things, one of the few things about this movie that I did not like. Mm. And it's just kind of just more of a nitpick, but So it's during the scene when Kirsten Dunst is listening to the mixtape, and I'm watching it, and I can immediately tell that she's not actually listening to anything.
Well, of course not. Yeah.
She's bobbing her head in a way that does not match the beat at all. I could hear that she's listening to nothing. The only thing she's listening to in this scene, I could hear it. I could hear the director like, okay, and now the song's getting faster and faster.
All right, jump around.
Really getting into it. Like, I could hear the direction and not the
music.
But what a performance.
I just love her.
But it didn't match. Like, the beat didn't match at all. Her bobbing, she was completely out of rhythm.
It's
like,
perfectly.
Power of the dog, baby. That's the power of the dog.
Took me out of the movie, and I was just like, damn it, you couldn't, like, match her bobbing head
to the
music. That's
all movies, though. Like, it's...
That, I don't know. That annoyed me. Ryan, tell me you're with me on this
one.
Well,
no, I know what you mean. This is the same energy I have with fake concerts in movies. You know,
yeah.
It's the same
kind
of thing. I get it, but it's a charming little part, I think.
But she's got the spirit, and that's all that matters.
It gives her inspiration.
Cliff is like, and Eliza Dushku is kind of like
the cool new kids.
They're brother and sister who move in recently, and they're like cool and weird and stuff. And so like Eliza Dushku's trying out for, she makes the cheerleading team, and she's like a dancer and stuff, so she's bringing like a
gymnast.
Different energy. But meanwhile, Cliff is like the cool, he's not quite like, I don't know. He's weird because
he's
like
a little emo kind of kid.
Yeah, man. He's like a little arty kid. He's definitely like picked on by other people.
You listen to like old music from the 80s.
Yeah, he's not like a popular kid, but he's like you know, he's someone you'd like look back on and be like, oh, that kid was cool.
This also has one of my favorite tropey scenes in a high school movie like this. The new kid comes into school in the middle of class.
Oh,
he sits down. Someone makes fun of him, and then class is over with 2 minutes later.
That's how it goes.
The bell rings.
The bell rings. I was like,
I love when
I just landed. My plane just got here.
I love when a new kid comes in and it's like no one has talked to him, no one knows him, but immediately there are going to be some bullies who are like, a loser.
Yeah. There's like the Key and Peele joke where they're like, Cliff Pant 1. Cliff Pant 1.
It's Pantone. Pantone.
They could just. I just want to punch those kids.
They're the losers.
Oh, but they get owned so hard. Yeah. One of my favorite parts of the whole movie is so one of the funniest things I think is that the football team that they cheer for is terrible. And
yes,
the only
that is
reason
a funny bit.
Anyone comes is to watch the cheerleaders. So there's like this scene where they're making the jock guys are making fun of the cheerleaders. And he's like, Jan's got spirit. How about you? And he's like, dude, you just lost. And
that's
and he just stares blankly, like he doesn't say anything, and it keeps on.
He just
kind of
like turns away.
He is like broken after that. It's funny. It's funny too. Like towards the end, there's the montage. You know, because basically the movie's like them, the cheer squad, trying to get to nationals. You know, win the award for best cheer team. And as they're training, there's like towards the end, there is like a tossed off. It's one of my favorite things about the football team is like. Oh, and I guess we could, like, practice during the football games, too.
Yeah, they're like, we have to practice all the time. We'll do the football games, too, because, like, who the fuck cares?
There was actually a joke that I heard this time for the very first time, and I've seen this movie 100 times. So it's during the football game. The guy actually announces, and you can barely hear it, but it's the guy who's announcing the football game. He's like, our next defeat is scheduled for, and he, like, says the date. Which I thought was very funny. I've never heard that before.
Cute. It's like listening to the Beatles with the remasters, and you're hearing stuff you've never heard
it's
before.
Exactly
like
that.
Exactly. Well, and it's crazy because I wrote that joke, but I forgot about it.
Well, to get back to the synopsis, another tropey thing I love about movies like this, like if something happens, you're in the middle of school, you can just leave whenever. It doesn't matter. Nothing. Like, I've seen these cheers before, Kirsten Dunst. Like, all right, let's take a drive upstate.
Let's drive like an hour plus away.
After school. Thank you very much.
Oh, was it after school?
Yes, it was after school.
It wasn't like a drive. I mean, the drive upstate you're referring to is San Diego to L.A.
That's still like... Yes.
It is technically upstate, but I think when people use the phrase upstate, that's not...
I mean, it's a whole half a day to go back and forth there.
It's by the time they get there, it's dark.
At the end of the day, the traffic is going to be insane.
Sure, sure. I wouldn't call San Diego to L.A. upstate.
They go north.
Yes, they go north.
They go up, and they go in an estate.
It's technically upstate.
But yeah, we get the reveal of you have stolen this routine from the Clovers,
the Compton Clovers.
Even though you didn't realize it, Kirsten Dunst, but little Raggedy Ann, Big Red, has been stealing for years.
Okay, but what is funny? Like, what is the lore of Big Red? Like, how did she discover the Clovers? If they're in San Diego.
Because I'm sure it was at one of these meets, like probably like because they do these like county and state and national competitions.
No, it's implied that the Clovers have never like been able to do that before because it costs money to enter these things. Travel. So she must have like, she was like on hitting the pavement looking for like cheerleaders and other towns.
She says it.
I bet they did regional stuff where they like interacted.
They said
or,
they
like,
didn't, Mike. Like this is
that they didn't do anything.
Well,
no,
why
they've
would...
never like been on the like on a big stage like that.
They mentioned that Big Red is filming them.
She's been coming down with her video camera.
So I was just curious. I was thinking she went on a quest across the state. Like, oh, where
we need the like dark and gritty prequel that's like the story of Big Red stealing these routines.
Now that's a movie.
She's like, I love to culturally appropriate.
That is actually really funny, the suggestion, because she would have been in high school doing this. And apparently she's been doing it for years. So maybe
it's like a 14-year-old coming through.
Going cross country or at least throughout the state of California, just taping other cheer squats routines.
I'm writing the script in real time. Big Red is part of a cheerleader dynasty family, and her older sisters were cheerleaders. Her mom was in cheer, and so she came up. You know, it's much like Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, Shogun. It's about these noble houses, which are really they're just recreating cycles of violence.
The noble house of the Red.
But, okay, because we recently have been watching like House of the Dragon and stuff and Shogun pretty recently, but like there's so many lines that are like with like the stakes are the great houses are about to go to war, like towards the beginning after that one cheerleader gets injured, so they have to hold the auditions, and I think it's Les says to Torrance, he's like, they're saying it's your hubris that led to her downfall or something like that. It's like they're walking the royal courts and her advisors. It's like, well, the other nobles say. It's great. There's also like the bit at the end where between Torrance and Gabrielle Union's character where it's like, cheer captain to cheer captain. Yeah. We have a warrior's bond. Yeah. I respect you.
There's like a, it's like beautiful. the samurai cheer code.
Yeah, there's honor here.
I just imagine a scene with Big Red talking to Gabrielle Union, like, I wanted you to know that it was me.
It was me who stole the cheers.
So Madeline, I have a question.
Gabrielle Union pulls out a dagger.
If anyone knows this, it's going to be you. But when they show the Compton Clovers, they seem like
it's
I don't know,
cold in here.
They seem like, are these like real cheerleading teams? Because they seem like it seemed like it. Like it seemed like the choreography and stuff when they do some of the sequences and stuff. They were like, it was really, I liked it. It felt like I was watching like a nationals at a cheer routine or something. Or
yeah.
Something like
these are absolutely legit cheerleading athletes. Mm-hmm. Like the way when you first see the Clovers and the way they are throwing people so high up into the air, it's wild.
It's cool. It's cool. Like, definitely. I enjoyed watching, like, them particularly, it seemed like they were like, and I was thinking, because we only really see like two people in there who have any dialogue. So I was like, oh, is this maybe just cast of like, do they just cast like athletes?
Yeah, like real, probably.
Oh, especially for the competition stuff. Like, it's definitely the main, a bunch of real cheerleaders.
The Toros have some of that, but not quite as much, which I just is imagining because, like, there's so many people there who are actors. Like,
yeah.
And I think they also just want to show that the Clovers are better. And I love that the Clovers win.
Yeah. Same. Mm-hmm.
Spoilers. I just gotta say, I know, spoilers. I just think that's a good...
But they are the better team.
A good ending. I just... It's funny watching the Clovers, too, because you see the things that Rancho Carney stole from them, and it just looks so much better when they do
it. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, Jackie was thinking that, like, it's cold out, like... Yeah, like you see the routine where the Toros, like the rich white school, is doing it, and they're like, it's cold out here in the atmosphere. But then you see like how it's like supposed to be done, and it's like way different.
Yeah, it's cool.
The Big Red stole it and watered down, you know, the routines. It reminded me a lot of like, from like, you know, 2020 on, there was a lot of TikTok dances like going viral stuff, and all of them would start with like a young black dancer creator or something, like coming up with like a pretty, you know, detailed, like in-depth kind of thing, and then it gets kind of poached by various like white influencers who do like a really simple, like, you know, not as interesting version of it, and then that's what goes viral.
Or have you ever heard like you know, like Lil Richard did Tutti Frutti. I think it was Pat Boone. There's like some guy who made a career of like doing black people songs, but as a white guy in like the early rock and roll time. And he did a version of like Tutti Frutti that's like, Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy, Tutti Frutti. it's great.
Because society will collapse if white people just listen to things that black people make. We have to have the white version of it. Otherwise, we'll die.
I also really thought it was funny and like ultimate cringe when so get further on in the synopsis. So they're like, all right, well, we can't do that cheer again. We need something new. It's like, we can't come up with something that quick. We need help. All right, we'll get help. We'll hire a choreographer, and this is my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, this is so nuts.
This guy.
They hire Sparky, played by UCB alum Ian Roberts.
Dressed like Roy Schneider and all that jazz.
He was definitely reminding me of the cinematographer they hire in Nope. Like, it was that energy.
And he just comes in and he tears them all down. There's one, I love the scene where they all are in the line and he's just walking through and he's just taking all of them down. He's like, ah, you look very good. Like, nice, like, facial structure or whatever. And then he just peers down at her ass. He's like, or what does he say?
Good general tone and musculature. Report those compliments to your ass before it gets so big it forms its own website.
You know how this was a dark time for butts.
Yeah, they go hard on. That's probably the other big thing is they go hard. A lot of people's weight in this movie.
It's very 2000s.
It's really ruined
90s.
A lot of people, I'm sure.
Yeah, this was the cause of quite a lot of eating disorders.
If she had time traveled to now, like everyone would be like, "Holy cow!"
I know. Like, think of the most hideous person you can think of, a hot skinny girl with a big ass.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, she's not even like
hideous.
It's not even really like so much that she's like over. Like, she's incredibly fit. It's like, but she has a big butt. Like, what are you talking about? This is like.
This is such an anti-butt time, which is again really racist, like in its roots.
Oh, 100%. With some of the stuff though, I did. He does go so hard. It is like there, like some of it's really funny. I think like there's like one part where he's like, smile. Don't smile.
Male cheerleaders. So enough said.
Well, and just his introduction, he just walks in and you get that low angle shot of his leather boots walking in. He puts his little boom box down and he plays one of the cheesiest songs you could.
And he doesn't even do anything that impressive. He does a little basic routine.
He's like, that's just a taste.
And then Kirsten Dunst, I haven't said this yet, but Kirsten Dunst in this is so good. She is so well cast. She's so earnest and charming.
Trying to be positive.
But she's like, thank you so much for being, and he's just like, no speaking.
Oh yeah, no, the Jock Jams kind of music is I love pull it up immediately. I can't help it.
Oh, and the routine is so this is kind of one of the things that I dislike about the movie a little bit is that they show you they basically tell you what the routine is going to be, but we don't really see them training for these routines. We see them do the little
that's kind of a surprise for later with
I guess, but that's one of the things I like most about these types of movies is that we get to see them try to do the routine and they fail and they fail and they fail. And maybe they have one moment where they get it. It's like, oh, we're going to be great now. And then we see the routine later. But we don't see that in this movie. We don't really get a lot of the spirit fingers until we see it. And the same thing with the finale. It's like, all right, guys. And it's like, to me, it's all telling and not showing until I guess they do show it. But it's just like, I appreciate the training montages where you see them fail, fail, fail. And then they start to get some successes and they get some successes and then finally you see it all coalesce in the end, but we don't get that in this movie, which all they do is just like, all right guys, we need to do something that no one's ever seen before. We're gonna introduce mime, kung fu movies, this, that, and the other thing, but we don't see them actually practice any of those things.
They practice
We see them do they do,
that's
like,
why it's
outside.
A montage, Dave.
It's a montage.
Yeah, but we don't actually see them do anything substantial. It's just like that was a bummer to me.
All right. There should have been 15 that minutes each for mime training, kung fu training.
That montage
I will
is
say
so good.
That to kind of to Dave's point that I thought it was a missed opportunity that Eliza Dushku's prowess wasn't on display anytime after her audition.
Not at all.
That is because it wasn't Eliza Dushku doing the backflips, and it's not Kirsten Dunst doing the backflips.
Yeah, it was
backflips.
None of them. But it's just you could at least have them show
this
them
is,
being
this
good.
Is why in these kind of movies, it is beneficial to cast a Channing Tatum or someone who's can act but can also do the moves.
The stunts.
Because you can feature that a lot easier. Eliza Dushku can't do any of that. So it's probably
there's certain constraints in filming that kind of the big routines. I was thinking because I think it's at the very finale when we see the Toro's routine and then we cut back towards the end and it's just Kirsten Dunst sitting on top of someone's shoulders and it's yep, because I don't expect that she did any of the flipping around or
They say all those things kung fu movies, this, that, and the other thing. I couldn't really tell if any of that was integrated into their routine at the end. It just seemed like a general. It was good, but I didn't see any of those things that they really.
I know
what
you're talking
part.
About. You want to see somehow they're doing some action or
Well, they.
Fight
I will say they in the final routine. There's aspects of mime in it. There's swing dance.
I
there's
did see
the
mime.
Kung fu.
Yeah.
There's
there's
all,
some kind of Fosse stuff. Yeah, I think it does have. It's seeds and all that, and I would say that montage is worth it if only for the little Bob Fosse bit. Yes. Where they flash, they're doing the neck moves and they flash over to Sweet Charity on the TV that they're mm-hmm. watching.
There's
it.
Good
that's
editing.
The Rich Man's Frug.
I like the editing in that montage a lot. It was definitely giving Edgar Wright vibes.
And I would say, the movie feels a lot like someone who does have affection for things like Bob Fosse and kung fu movies and stuff. So I think it's there.
Well, you mentioned Fosse, which gets back to the spirit fingers, really.
The spirit fingers.
And one of the cringiest things of the movie, but in a good way, because it's good for the characters in the story. So we find out that, they go to regionals with the spirit fingers, Bob Fosse inspired.
With the bot routine.
And they realize before they go on that the team before them is doing the exact same routine. And they
have that discovery of like, oh, this guy's, and this is another prequel that we need, the Sparky prequel.
Yeah.
He's just been going around peddling the same act.
Scamming
to people.
High school teen.
Well, and yeah. talking about how it's art and then just.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And it's one of the cringiest things I've seen in a movie in recent memory where they go on after the team that just did Spearfingers. They're like, well, what can we do? Like,
yeah,
we
are we supposed to?
We have no other routine. So they do it and it's just silence. It plays to crickets. And it's just like, ooh. And I
but you still have to keep the big old cheerleader smile on your face.
And,
you still have
yes,
to keep
smiling.
That part is heartbreaking.
It made it more particularly tough because the Culver team walks out and they see it. They're like, wow. So they're ripping off other people and they're ripping off shitty routines mm-hmm. to boot.
Yeah, you stop stealing from us, but you can't even come up with like anything else. Like,
it's,
wow.
It's brutal. Like the you have to go on and smile knowing that you're just walking into a disaster.
And the aftermath where it's like the guy the official comes up to
Mrs.
Kirsten
Torrance,
Dunst
we need to
and
talk.
Is like,
"Miss Torrance, we need to talk."
Oh, and she's just like, I do feel so bad for her at so many different turns where she's like, "I truly did not know we were stealing from the Clovers. I did not know that we were being scammed." Like she
yeah,
is trying
victims.
Her best.
Yeah, I love this guy's been driving up and down the coast selling his routines.
He's been going upstate with this whole act.
He's been going upstate.
Well, yeah, and he's just like sitting in the corner popping his pills. Like, I got the same routine again. Here we go.
He's like, and how much did he charge for it? It was like $2,000 or something in the year 2000?
Crazy.
He probably made fucking bank.
Oh. He bought a house that's worth $5 million.
Yeah.
So they're pretty dejected, and basically they're like, all right, we have like 2 weeks to come up. What is it, 2-3 weeks before the finals in Florida? Like, we got to come up with a
yeah,
new act.
Yeah, in Daytona.
In Daytona, yeah. And just like, I love that... I was really hoping for the Claire, or not Claire, the Courtney Cliff. And What's-Her-Face to be booted off the team, Whitney to be booted off the team at this point. I'm sorry, but there were too many instances. For one thing, they're like, we're replacing you as captain. We think it's best. I'm sorry. I hated these two characters.
They're like the evil, council members who are trying to like dispose of the queen.
Have we talked about, Game about of the shitty?
Yeah.
Have we even talked about the shitty boyfriend?
Oh, the shitty boyfriend. Oh,
I love the shitty boyfriend so
he sucks
much.
So bad.
He's the
can
most
I, can I say, like,
insufferable
my,
person.
My favorite like bit of like set like I think this movie is really good with costuming and set design. And one of my favorite pieces of set design is the shitty boyfriend's dorm room has. They're like, okay, how can we establish this guy is shitty? So he has music posters of Matchbox 20, Sugar Ray, and Hootie and the Blowfish.
What do you mean? Those are awesome bands.
Yeah, what
are
you
those are all wonderful. And he's
it's such a
on
funny
her.
Lineup for like a year 2000 fuckboy.
Oh, when he like pulls up at the beginning in his little car, and her parents just like hate him.
Yeah, that little freaking go kart.
Hey, Mr. Success.
Hello, it's Aaron.
Oh, hello, Aaron.
Hey, can I help?
Oh no, we're fine, thanks. Really, stay in your vehicle.
Hey, you sure?
Bye. Be back later. Bye.
Bye, honey.
Hi. Come on, Tor. I can't mac on you in front of the parentals.
Bye-bye!
Remember, he's leaving for college.
Right.
As shitty as he is, he does have maybe my favorite line in the movie. I can't mac on you in front of the parentals.
The affected way that he talks is so perfectly obnoxious. Ugh, I love the casting of this guy in this movie.
No, maybe you're strange. Just not captain material.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
He's oh like, my God.
I just want you to be happy.
Like now.
I forget what scene it is it's in, but he shows up with like some weird ass sweater and just like the whole time he's on screen.
He
like,
reminded me of Sean from Boy Meets World, like the way he looked. That's what I was thinking.
I think you're thinking of Cliff.
Oh, I am thinking of Cliff
yeah.
as more.
You
Sean.
Were thinking of handsome boy with nice hair.
I was about to fight you. My God.
Well, not Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up Sean disparagingly.
You can't bring up our boyfriend like that.
And that's kind of another, yeah, that's another point. That's one of the things that that Kirsten Dunst's character is trying to contend with. It's like her boyfriend went off to college. She's a senior now. He's a freshman in college. So he's gone, and she starts to develop feelings for Cliff, who's, you know, the emo rock kid who,
she
like,
plays guitar.
Plays guitar in his room. And he
actually
does, like,
nice to her and supportive of her endeavors.
Yeah.
Instead of her boyfriend who doesn't
is,
care.
Like, we find out having an affair with some college girl. And so she dumps him and tries to win back Cliff. So that's kind of her thing in the movie.
Like, I love that she dumps him before she even knows that he's cheating on her.
Now she knows.
No, she dumps him and then finds out that, like, she dumps him because he's just shitty and, like,
well,
not
that,
being supportive. And
she,
and
think
then
she knows that he has, that there's someone in there with him when she knocks
him
out.
No, there's, like, a thing, and then she sees her, like,
I think
moments.
She's not surprised.
I don't think she's surprised, but I'm just
saying,
I love
that.
You
heard the woman's voice in
there. I'm just saying, I love that it's, like, very clear that it's, like, you just suck. Like, yeah. I feel like that is, it stings more to him. Because, like, it's not even about, like, you cheating on me. Like, you're just awful.
You just are the worst. And you gave me the number for Sparky, that fucking scammer.
She gets
and
to say,
you
like,
sold
you're
me
just
out to the two evil people on our team.
Oh, he did also sell her out to the evil council.
She says the great breakup line of, I just don't think you're boyfriend material.
Clapping. Got him. I'm standing up in the audience clapping.
Said, you go, girl. Oh, we haven't mentioned. Oh my God, wait, because we couldn't stop talking about when we were watching it. Her little brother, who looks 49 years old. Yes.
That little brother, he must be like a chain smoker alcoholic.
I like the bit where he farts on her.
He's like, wait a minute, I got something to tell you. It's really important.
Classic.
That was really funny.
Hey, I have to tell you something.
I'm on the phone, creep.
I realize that. And normally I'd be listening on the other line, but this is important.
Okay, what? Oh, get out!
Thank you for listening.
And then just runs away. He's like a medieval, if we're talking about Game of Thrones, this guy's like a medieval court jester or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
It's interesting too, because this, I don't know his name, but this actor will show up a handful of years later in Not Another Teen Movie, which spoofs Bring It On.
Oh, he said, I know, I was there. I actually know about that stuff. I fart. I really did fart on Kirsten Dunst.
I love it. I love we got some twisted metal representation in this movie. That was,
oh my
good.
God, PlayStation 1. Yeah. And I got it, dude, Kirsten Dunst, man, she does that thing that, like, when you're pissed at a game, like, she, like, yanks the controller out. And did you see it? It not only yanked the controller out, like, it seemed like the tray opened up as well.
I saw that too. I was like, oh my God. You're going to ruin the game.
Yeah.
He just stop being so annoying then. And
you're
going to
mess up the disc reader.
Quit chain smoking. I'm telling Mom.
I'm going to tell Mom.
That was good. That
they
was
come
good
up
dynamic.
With a new routine. They're like, hey, I'm a fan of kung fu movies. We also like miming and ballet and this and that and the other thing. We'll combine it all into one thing, and hopefully it'll win first place.
One would think second. Eliza Dushku's gymnastics background would come in to that, but
see,
we kind of forgot
I'm
about that.
Like, I feel like they say what they're going to do, but they don't necessarily show you those things in training, at least for me personally, in a satisfying way. Like, we see it at the end in the final routine, but, like, I would have appreciated some more scenes of them actually doing, like,
I think
stuff.
We
gotta get it down to an hour 29, which is the perfect length for a movie.
I think it, I'm kind of with you, Dave, and I really just think it comes down to, like, the cast of this movie are not dancers, so, like, the dancing is...
There is only so much that they can show with the principal characters.
It's there, but, like, the stuff that you get, like, I feel like the really impressive stuff you get is with the Compton Clovers, who are probably mostly not actors, probably just actually dancers.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're going to give me either Kirsten Dunst or Jenna Dewan, I'm taking Kirsten Dunst every goddamn time.
Yeah.
She's a
star.
She's a star. Because
she's got
the charisma. She's got the energy. Jenna, she can dance well, but that's what she's got, you know?
That's what she's a dancer. And Kirsten Dunst is a movie star.
But imagine if instead of Eliza Dushku, that character was exactly the same, but played by Channing Tatum.
Mm. Well, then here's another film. He's like, Yeah, I'm kind of from the streets.
Channing Tatum in full drag, playing exactly the same character.
Perfect.
Licking the tattoo off his arm that he drew in fourth period.
I
want to
see it. I want to see it.
So I'm wondering, guys, I personally thought the Culvers had the best routine, but did anyone here think that the Toros should have won first place?
What a hot take. Wow.
Actually, I think the white team was better.
I wanted the Toros to win so it can reinforce the harm and damage of theft that would lead to one of the characters' suicide later.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That's the movie I wanted.
Jesus.
Yeah, that is a big thing, like, you know, that this
Gabrielle
was missing.
Gabrielle Union goes up on the Verrazano Bridge and kills
herself.
From
other dance movies we've seen, there is a shocking lack of suicide in this.
Yeah. Bring It On by Darren Aronofsky. That's a movie.
Yeah, it's, the Clovers had to win, but I would say, I'll give it up to the Toros. They come out with some damn energy of that new.
They got second place.
And I
they
think, like, the only
and
thing
they're
is
proud
missing,
of it.
I thought they were going to add some pop punk into their situation. That's what I'm
oh.
missing.
Yes, that too.
Like, into the actual
that was the whole
routine.
Point of the brother
of the,
and
the
his
brother's
like,
song, you know?
Yes.
It would have been, if they were dancing to the song.
That's just
it,
for Torrance.
If
Torrance.
It was, like, you know, I don't know. Dumpweed by Blink-182.
Well, it could have been like a purple. It could have been like a Purple Rain situation where they put the tape in and suddenly like it goes into like his song and then it cuts to him and the audience like, oh, they're playing my song.
Maybe
like,
that's too much.
They did do
is
that.
Too much?
It's not about him, Dave.
It's not about him. It's really not.
but it could have reinforced their relationship.
But it's
may
not.
I suggest though? May I suggest in the
that,
grand
though.
Tradition of
when his
animated...
song goes on, he reacts to hearing it in the audience. What do you mean?
Oh, his song, they did play his song?
Yes, Cliff's song is in that, is in
it?
Their routine. Yes,
wait, it is?
Absolutely.
Listen
guys,
to the scholar.
Trust me, I've seen this movie 700 times.
I mean, I believe you.
Yeah,
I don't remember
to you on this, but I guess I just didn't.
Well,
oh, no, absolutely they play, so it's like kind of in the middle, but they cut to his song, and then he's like doing this, like jamming to it.
Oh, I guess I just mistook that as him like into their
No.
Bit,
they played his song. It's like a faster version of it.
That's
may I suggest in the grand tradition of anime music videos that, Ryan, you edit this
like
final
said,
sequence
no!
to Dumpweed or
I
whatever.
I still think it's that's some song. He wrote just the little acoustic part.
That is an insane take, Ryan. That is an unhinged take.
Well, I would say maybe the fact that it didn't register to me that that was his song was because the song sucked, but maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Whoa.
Madeline's got her gloves. She's going to kill you.
God damn, David.
You're dead.
Madeline's looking disgusted.
I am plotting his murder as we speak.
You are dead. You are being a real cheer tater.
And a pain in my ass.
Pain in my ass.
So can I just say really quick, that was one of the jokes I never understood until I was older. I thought it was like a cheer tater, like a tater tot? A cheer tot? But then,
like, I don't know what a dictator is.
That's a great joke.
Wait, what's the joke?
Well, he's saying this is a democracy, and then he's like, well, you're being a cheer-tater, as in a dictator.
Dictator. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I never got that when I was a kid.
Yeah, I could see not getting that joke.
So that was one, like, that was like a nice little gem on your 85th watch, watching the movie. You're like, oh, hey.
Wow. I'm just looking at the soundtrack. This movie, 50 Cent is on the soundtrack. This is like a pre-In the Club 50 Cent. Interesting.
Yeah, it's got all the hits. Ah. This movie's got all the hits, including Hey Mickey.
All right. If you needed further evidence that this movie was made in the year 2000, we get a blooper reel.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, we do.
I love the blooper reel.
Lip-syncing to some silly music.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Bring it back, you cowards.
Bring it on and bring it back.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out here, Ryan. This is on the soundtrack, or not the soundtrack, but like, if you look
power?
This... If you look this song up, it's Just What I Need by Cliff from the Bring It On soundtrack.
By Cliff.
By Cliff. Wow. Not Cliff and, you know, pop punk band.
By just Cliff. Is it written by, like, what's
it's by the band. Did, it's like, by the band. It's by Rufus King.
Yeah, like, what if it was written by, what's his face, who died? Did the
Fountains of
Fountains
Wayne
of
guy?
Guy.
This sounds like something he would do.
Maybe so.
Well, That's the movie, folks. They get second place, but and this kind of like,
it's a triumphant second.
Alyssa Dushku asks her, like, "So you won second place? How does it feel?" "Like first place." I'm like, "Shut up."
She earned it.
There's only one person. There's only one group who won first place, and it wasn't you.
Yeah, but they learned something, Dave.
They did learn something.
There was some cutting social commentary when Kirsten Dunst goes to her father and she's like, "Do the right thing."
Yeah, see, they try to get her to sponsor the team, right?
Yeah, we try to get some white guilt money, which Gabrielle Union is like, "No, I don't want your white guilt money."
Yes, that was one of my favorite scenes in the movie when she's like, "Look, I she doesn't tell her this. She doesn't tell her the reason I want you in here is because, like, we need to prove ourselves that we're the best, and we can only do that by beating the best." But she didn't say that. I just appreciate that Gabrielle Union's like, "Fuck you, fuck your money, get the fuck out of here."
Yeah. I love that she rips up the check, and then I love that they find a way to get the money through someone that used to live in their neighborhood and is now famous. Like that.
The fake Oprah. Basically.
No, that's Paulette.
Yeah, it's Paulette.
It is interesting, the movie, I would say. Like, and I almost wish it kind of played into more that, like, we are watching, like, the villains of this story, like, yeah, the whole time, you know, kind of thing, which is very.
There was I remember
didn't mean to be villains.
Well, Kirsten Dunst didn't know it is again Game of Thrones Shogun. You know, it's like she is ascending now to the dynasty and learning the deep dark secrets
dark
of like what has been going on in the
going.
Kingdom this whole time, and she's trying as like a Ned Stark figure to be like the honorable,
but
you know, is she
going
to get beheaded for this? You know,
and I was thinking about a couple years ago, Gabrielle Union, it was probably 2020 because it was the 20th anniversary, but Gabrielle Union was talking about how during like the test screenings, audiences like loved the Clovers and wanted more of them, and so they filmed like some like a little bit of extra Clovers material like for trailers basically. And it made it seem like there was more Clovers in the final movie, which there wasn't. And Gabrielle Union was talking about it, obviously like very proud of the movie they made and like loves that she was a part of it. But she was like, "Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, the Clovers are a very important part and audiences clearly wanted more of that, but it isn't necessarily a story about them," which is, you know,
that would be that would be like, I know there's sequels to this movies, that would be like an interesting way to go with the sequel, is like the Clovers now, like,
well,
like
all of the sequels like do sequels. Yeah, do a lot kind of like with race, but I'm less familiar with those. Yeah, Gabrielle Union still busts out that Clovers outfit sometimes on social media and looks amazing.
I will say, like, in talking about this, you know, saying we're gonna watch this with friends and stuff, everyone I know who is a bisexual girl mentioned the "Hey Mickey" outro like thing to this. They were like, "Oh yeah, the I mean, this is like three people all said like, "Oh yeah, bring
hey,
it
Mickey.
On that Hey Mickey thing at the end, like, this seems like a very formative, sexy dance sequence for a lot of youth in the year 2000.
Well, I mean, hey.
What can you say?
I mean, do you remember the "Hey Mickey" part, Ryan, from when you saw this in the theaters?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I saw this on play on, E. I would watch it.
Definitely
on, like,
on E.
Movies We Love on E or something.
It is like, it's fun. It's not like, like, you know, there's that, the like literal lap dance in this movie.
And the car
But
wash.
It is like, it's like, and it's not that, the Hey Mickey thing, but it is like, they're like trying to be sexy with this.
It's
like,
it's
it was
like,
a little
know,
different than the rest of the
it's
movie.
Cheeky, it's
cheeky.
Yeah.
Cheeky's a good way of putting it. Yeah. But I was like a bit like, oh, okay. Yeah. I get why this would be like, if you're, you know, entering puberty and discovering things,
you'd be like, oh, hello.
Yeah, this would be a formative scene.
Well, they literally pointed out in the scene when they're trying to raise money, they're like, oh, you come to ogle us? You know, like, that's the whole purpose of
we
it.
We didn't talk about one of the most insane things in this movie. The sexy car wash with,
high
like,
schoolers
high
are putting,
schoolers?
Like, titties on the glass.
Where they're like, I was just imagining, like, what if... What if we're no? If we're that, the
no,
I'm just imagining
those
like
the day.
This is like something. This is like something in Barter Town, like a strip club would do this to raise money. Like, oh, we'll have like, you know, the dancers and they'll like rub the boobs on your car or whatever as they're washing it. I'm to imagine, like, if I was driving down the road and like, oh,
you'd
high
be
school.
Stopping. How much?
I don't know. If I saw like a volunteer, like high school car wash, I stop, but they start doing that, I'd be like peeling out. Like, is this like a sting or something? Like, this is awful. I can't be here.
Yeah, I would like to see footage of Michael peeling out after seeing some ladies in bathing suits.
Okay, no, I mean, if again, are we talking like
High school?
If this was a high school event, absolutely, I'm peeling out of there.
If it's Eliza Dushku and Kirsten Dunst as adult,
yeah,
women,
if it's 21-year-old Kirsten Dunst or whatever, okay, maybe I'm not peeling out.
Maybe
I'm not peeling out
on
full
the glass.
Speed.
Mike pulls his car into the lot, and Chris Hansen shows up like, what are you doing here, buddy? What are you doing here? Getting your car washed, huh? Getting your car washed?
It was just a while. I was, like, shocked that that was, like, that was
a different
time,
and it got them
time,
the money, so.
Outraged.
Yeah, those were the days. That's what they took from us. The woke mind virus time. Has taken the sexy high school car washes from us. Oh, God, this episode is going to be the last time I'm on the show.
Well, any other closing thoughts on Bring It On, or should we get into recommendations?
No, let's end with the pedophilia.
I think of anything else. I don't know. Yeah, I like I said, I...
I do have... Sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
No, go ahead. I just was going to wrap up my thought.
I remembered the buried memory of when I saw the... I believe it was short-lived. I actually don't know. But a stage musical adaptation of Bring It On, which I did see when I was probably in high school. And it's a different story. They're not doing like a one-to-one thing because like you can't. But I think she still has the name Torrance. And the setup is like... I'm so ready to start my senior year of high school and I'm going to be cheer captain. And, it's like, actually they changed the, zip codes or whatever for the school, you know, school district. So actually you go to this other school now and it's like, you know, a Compton, like inner city urban school. And she's like this white cheerleader, in a new environment. And so it's like, I guess she joins the cheerleader squad there, the Not Clovers, but it is also her about like learning to be more street. And I don't think it was an amazing show, but I did see it. So I don't recommend that, but I do recommend this movie.
We were talking about, you said Torrance. And I was just like, what is the name Torrance? Where does that come from? Like, who's been named Torrance?
It sounds like an old Tory. English name.
Tory is what you've heard all the time.
Yeah.
Tory was a peak Y2K name. I think the full Torrance is like throwing everyone off.
Yeah. Like Torrance is a Scottish name. And it says it's masculine and means
it means
little
cheer.
Hills or from the craggy hills.
Oh, I love saying, that.
Is that a... Is that a boob thing?
That's
what
I was
saying?
Thinking, Ryan.
What?
I thought they were just going
all
with
right.
a name
well,
that went
with Toros.
Well,
I guess I'm not the one who's going to be canceled this episode.
No, I just say, like, what is it trying to say?
First of
do
all,
you think her name means boobs?
First of all, Kirsten Dunst does not have little hills, but
wait, does Kirsten
famously
Dunst?
Does not have little hills.
Does she have big boobs?
Yeah, Kirsten Dunst has always had big boobs, dude.
I've never really...
Oh my god, Mike, you're like,
you're the one talking about
Spider-Man. I've never noticed them.
You're the one talking about Spider-Man and...
Yeah, come on, the upside-down kiss,
Mike
dress.
Is now aggressively putting his car into reverse out of the car wash.
Yeah, don't pretend, don't pretend.
What are boobs? That's Mike over here.
I think for the name Torrance, they just wanted a name that sounded like Toro.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Wow. Of course.
I think it's the boob thing.
I think it was a boob joke.
I think it means boobs.
It's like that Shakira song where she's like, lucky that my breasts are small and humble so you don't confuse them with mountains. That's an early Shakira hit. You should go listen to it, everyone.
What do you think the friend Tits McGee, her name meant?
Tits McGee.
Well, let's get into recommendations. Ryan, how would you rate the boobs in this movie?
I wouldn't rate the boobs, but I think it's solid. I think it's like solid of the time, and there's some good memorable stuff and a lot of great actors in there. And it's cool to see like Kirsten kind of like, you know, keep going in her career. And it's a lot of fun. And I don't think it's as successful and like as good as like stuff like Clueless, as far, I know that was a few years before, but I still think it's a lot of fun and everything. So.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say, yeah, definitely recommend. It's fun. It's light. And you know what? To your point, Madeline, I think I agree. Like, ultimately, I think it's good that this is only like an hour and 30 something minutes. I think a movie like this needs to have a nice brisk runtime. I agree. So, you know what? I think you're right. I'm willing to jettison the extended scenes of them training just to have a nice runtime. Like, a movie like this does not need to be 2 hours or more. It's completely unnecessary. But I would definitely recommend it. It's fun. It's light. Check it out. With some caveats aside, like, just be warned going in that this was made in the year 2000, so there will be some things that might, like, you know,
I think, like,
yikes moments.
I definitely, like, wouldn't fault anyone if they're like, I don't want to watch that for that, but, like, it is, it's not a mean movie. Like, its heart is in the right place. There's other movies in the year 2000 that will use the F slur, or even ones that don't use the F slur, and it's like more mean to like gay people. Like, I don't think this is a not that it's my place to say, but I don't think it's like an anti-gay movie or anything. It's just like, it's the year 2000. Like, there's just a different lexicon that is being used here.
So would you recommend, Mike?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite movies we watched for the film festival. I really like this. Like, there is some pop punk in this, and I feel like this feel like what I like about pop punk is what I like about this movie, if that makes sense. Like, there is, like, it's earnest, it's light, it's fun, it has some heart to it. It's like touching on some serious subject matters, although, you know, it's not like
it's very not trying deep to save
into
the world.
Those, but it's like, yeah, it's very earnest, and I would say at the end of the day, this movie is charming as hell. Like, this movie has so much charm. So I give it a pretty strong recommendation. I think that this is a good one. Even if it doesn't sound like something you'd be interested in, I think it's worth a shot. Especially if you're looking for something. It's a good summer movie. Like, if you want an hour and a half of something breezy and fun, with little things to think about here and there, but mostly just kind of a fun ride, I'd recommend it. It's great.
And Jackie, what about you?
I do recommend. It's a big fun movie. A lot of pretty ladies in it, which I'm a fan of. So many.
The Craggy Mountains.
A lot of great performers with really good charisma who are you know, bringing it on screen, and I do love it. So yes, I do bring it on.
Yeah, Madeline, so how did this hold up on your 801st watch?
Perfect. 10 out of 10 film, no notes. Everyone should watch it. If you're not watching it, I don't know what you're doing.
Madeline, are any of the sequels worth watching?
No.
Do you want me to read? I was going to read off the sequels. Do you want to hear some of these?
Yeah, how many are there?
Yeah,
I
want to hear some of the subtitles.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we got, we got Bring It On. Again.
And real quick, Kristen Dunst is in none of these, right?
No.
Wait. So the first one is literally just called Bring It On. Again.
Yeah. Then we got Bring It On, All or Nothing. Mm-hmm. Then we got Bring It On. And that one has someone that's famous.
Hayden Panettiere.
Hayden Panettiere is in one, and Solange is in one. Yeah. Beyonce's sister.
That's in the Bring It On, All or Nothing. Then we got Bring It On, In It to Win It.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That one has Ashley Benson. I wonder if that's any relation. Let's see. Jennifer Tisdale. We got Fight to the Finish.
These are starting to sound like Dragon Ball Z movies.
We got Cheer Smack.
That's not real. Worldwide
Cheer Smack. I don't know.
What the heck?
And then it's late as 2022. This is interesting.
Wow. Stop.
This one is from the Sci-Fi Channel. It's Bring It On, Cheer or Die.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Now I'm back.
That almost sounds like one of those movies where they take a property that's now in public domain and they make it into a horror movie.
Oh, like the Winnie the Pooh movie
or
whatever?
I don't think Bring It On is in public domain.
Blood and Honey.
But it sounds like it. If the Sci-Fi Channel is making it,
I could see somehow Bring It On's in the public domain because, like, no one cared about the rights.
No,
how people
blood
care
on
about
her?
The
look at the shadow behind her.
So it is a freaking horror movie.
Maybe for Halloween, we need bring it on or die.
Wow. I think, real quick, before we
That seems
we
like
end,
a movie you wrote, Madeline.
I did.
Before we end, well, yeah, she wrote all of them. We kind of didn't discuss how this is a dancing movie, but think it is, you know, it's about, like, the, overcoming the odds through a physical activity, which many dancing movies are, and that cheerleading is obviously very, like, physically intensive you know, I can't really dance, and I definitely can't jump in the air while being flipped over, so all of the choreography on display is very impressive.
Well, we have all recommendations. Nick, why don't you bring us home with the last final recommendation for this movie, because I'm sure you loved it, and you have nothing but glowing things to say about it.
Always trying to throw me under the bus. it's just a so-so recommendation for me. I think you have to, if you can get on board with this time period, even from the way the movie's made to me, it's like, to me, I think one of us here said, you know, Flashdance is very 80s, right? So there's a lot of 80s vibes, and you know, that's definitely more my cup of tea.
Nick,
than
I know you were probably disliking that this was shot on film.
Yeah. So there's some good stuff. There's some bad stuff. So yeah, it's I think it's definitely the time period is this is a period piece almost.
It is. Yeah,
I bet the kids,
is.
Yeah, they watch this today and they're like, this is like watching. You're watching something old, you know.
Is this like a recommendation for you, or is it?
It's a half.
Okay, that's more than I thought we'd get. All right.
Well, that's because Madeline is pointing a glowing gun.
I'm like, Nick. No, it's okay, Nick. You can say whatever you want.
I have a gun pointed in my head, but it's a cheer gun, so it just shoots pom poms.
That'll still harm you.
The only person in the way Sam Wharton Hoof is afraid of is Madeline.
No. I'm not getting on that pyramid because I know when I come down, you guys aren't catching me.
Yeah, it's interesting. This movie, I would say, it definitely inspired probably things for the good and also things for the bad. Probably this movie, but it is interesting for its time.
Well, you just said something that will kind of sort of segue into our next and final episode of Hot Day Summer Film Fest Volume 4. Now, that's what I call dance movies. We will not be hacking the planet when we return, but we will be saving it from nuclear destruction when we watch James Cameron's True Lies.
Oh, another anti-butt film. We'll get into it.
We'll see you then, folks. Until then, bring it on.
Hey, Mickey.
My regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the
Excuse me! What's with the song?
Isn't this the audition for Pippin?